The book of Proverbs, of course, was written by King Solomon. Humanly speaking, and apart from Christ, he was the wisest man that ever lived. When God gave him a blank check and said, "Ask for anything and I will give it to you as a king and a ruler," he asked for wisdom. God gave him his prayer and added many other things unto him because he had asked for the gift of wisdom. The book of Proverbs, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he gives little short statements and sayings, and they seem unrelated to each other as you read the book. It can come across as a group of sayings or statements that at times can be quite random. And yet they are little wise, inspired statements for living. And for living well. And as you read through this book, you discover that there are many themes that Solomon touches upon as he writes and tells us how to live well and live in the wisdom of the Lord. One of the things that he picks up on is the theme of the tongue. There are warnings about the tongue. For example, in chapter 6 and verse 24 of this book, there is a warning given about the flattering tongue. "Keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman." And the picture is given of a woman who flatters the young man to gain him away into the sin of adultery or fornication. And Solomon is saying, be aware that the tongue can flatter. And when people want to get in on you, and they're looking something from you, they'll flatter the tongue, but it's to have their own evil way. And he warns to beware of the flattering of the tongue. In chapter 10 and verse 31, he speaks about the froward tongue. And he tells us there, "The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out." In other words, the perverse tongue, the crooked tongue, it will be cut off. The Lord will do away with it. And therefore our words are not to be perverse or froward, but rather they are to be pure and righteous. In chapter 12 and verse 19, he speaks about the lying tongue. He says, "The lip of truth shall be established forever." You never need fear truth. Truth will be established. And we're to speak words of truth, words of righteousness, words that are honest. But a lying tongue is but for a moment. The lies the Lord will expose and do away with. The lying tongue is but for a moment. And as you read through the book of Proverbs, you discover that many, many times Solomon takes up the theme of the tongue, and he does it again. Although the tongue is not mentioned in our text directly, he is speaking and he is giving a warning about the tongue. For he says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And he's warning now against the boasting tongue. And it's boasting particularly about the future. The Lord Jesus in the Gospels taught that the heart and the tongue are related. They're near kinsmen, as we would say. He said, out of the heart and then out of the lips proceed various things. What the heart thinks, the lips speak, or the tongue says. And so the idea in Proverbs 27 verse 1 is this, that the tongue boasts of tomorrow because the heart assumes or presumes on tomorrow. And that's the warning the Lord has given and Solomon is giving. Don't do it, because you know not what a day may bring forth. From this text tonight, there are three very simple things I want to leave with you about this warning. A warning about the tongue, not boasting in the future or for tomorrow. And I want you to see, firstly, this text has something to say about the uncertainty of life. Notice that phrase, "Thou knowest not," you don't know, "what a day will bring forth." Those were the very same words that we highlighted from James chapter 4. When it says, "Ye know not what shall be on the morrow." James 4 and 14, "Whereas ye know not." And the people in James's day, they were doing this very thing that Solomon was speaking about several hundred years before. They said they would go into one city and they continue there a year and they would buy and they would sell and they would get gain and then they would move on to another place. And James has to take up the warning that Solomon gave. And he said, "You don't know what will be on the morrow. How can you speak for the year to come?" When Solomon uttered those words, he had in mind and he warned of unexpected things happening that change the course of men's lives and maybe bring it to an end altogether. You don't know what will happen, so therefore do not boast. Do not speak too confidently about you will do this or you will do that, because you don't know, something will happen that could either change the course of what you intended to do or could bring to an end your life altogether. You do not know what a day will bring forth. As you read through the Holy Scriptures, you discover various occasions when this truth is brought home so clearly. We have been studying on the Lord's Day mornings the life of Lot. And as we have read Genesis chapter 19, we have discovered that on the morning of Sodom's destruction, the sun arose. Why does the Bible tell us, why does it emphasize the sun arose that morning of Sodom's destruction? I think it's underlining. I think it's emphasizing the fact that it was just a normal day. It was a day that seemed to be any other day, like any other day. There was nothing different in the heavens above or in the city itself. There were no storm clouds overhead. There were no warning signs in the heavens. The sun arose and it was just like a normal day. The night before, Lot, having been told by the angels to go and warn his family, he went to his sons-in-law and he told them, "You must escape this place, for judgment is coming." And he seemed as one that mocked. They didn't heed the warning voice. They just assumed that all would continue as normal. And yet, just after the sun arose and Lot made his way out of Sodom and entered into the city of Zoar, fire and brimstone fell from heaven upon earth and burned up those cities of the plain. Matthew Henry said the inhabitants went from an inferno on earth to an inferno in eternity. And when men thought they would arise and they would do their business for the day and they would have their pleasure of sin in the even time again, the morrow brought forth judgment from God that ushered their souls into eternity. And they knew not. They knew not. The majority of the people of Sodom knew not what that day would bring forth. When you come to the Gospel of Luke, in the chapter 13, you read of an incident that the Lord Jesus Christ made reference to. And he spoke about a group of men in Luke chapter 13. Verse 1, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you nay. And they tell the Lord Jesus this story that there were those who were going to make a blood sacrifice, and yet on their way they were apprehended by Pilate's men. The soldiers under Pilate's authority. And those men are thinking, we're going to sacrifice. We're going to worship. We're going about our daily business, and it's something in mind they're going to do. And yet they knew not there was an ambush waiting for them. And Pilate's men were there, and they plunged the sword into them, and they mixed their blood with the blood of the sacrifices, and they were ushered out into eternity, and they knew it not. Do you see the picture we're trying to present? Men and women go about their business day by day, week by week. They make their plans. They intend to carry them out. And something out of the blue, unexpected to them, happens that they know not. They're not expecting. Their soul is ushered out into eternity. The Bible not only reminds us of the uncertainty of life, but the very world in which we live and are surrounded by reminds us day by day, week by week, of that uncertainty. My heart has been touched this past few weeks. For as my wife and I made our way just a little while ago, I think it would be tomorrow, fortnight ago, we were making our way through the village of Rathfrieland. There was a large crowd gathered outside the church at the bottom of the hill. And as we drove past, I just happened to mention to my wife, I think that's the funeral of the young man, just 18 years of age. Just over a fortnight ago, travelling between Dromara and Bambridge, and somewhere on the road to Canallan, a tragic accident took place, and his life was lost and his soul ushered into eternity. On Wednesday night after our own midweek service, I had cause to be driving out the Dungannon Road. Maybe some of you have driven out there this week, and there on that large tree at the side of the Dungannon Road, it's covered in floral tributes for another young man, just 18 years of age, just finished his A-levels, coming home from a part-time job in this very town, and late at night or early in the morning, whatever way you want to look at it, that accident took place, coming home from work at a late hour, perhaps looking forward to getting home. And in a moment, life is over. We can look back through history. I've said it even in my own lifetime. I always remember Boxing Day 2004. That great tsunami. It was a Sunday night. We went to the little meeting in Stranraer, and one of the men told us of that great event. People on the beaches in the Far East, those holiday resorts, sunbathing, enjoying the holiday, looking forward and enjoying a relaxing time. And all of a sudden, a massive tsunami wave coming in over country by country in that region. And tens, Wasn't it tens of thousands who lost their lives in various places? I remember where I was the day of 9/11. People going about their work in the Twin Towers. And our news screens bringing forth to us that very event. I remember watching the very event happen on the television whenever the second plane hit the second tower. And watching the events unfold and the towers collapse. Men and women and young people in this meeting, mark the words. We live in a life and in a world that is so uncertain. We know not what a day may bring forth. And the thought that always is in the back of minds and hearts, it happens to others. It will not come to my family. It will not happen in my home. It will not happen to my loved one. Men and women, young people, boys and girls, you know not what a day will bring forth. Life is uncertain. I want you to look back at Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. There's a second lesson we need to learn. This verse speaks not only of the uncertainty of life, but it speaks of the folly of man. The first little phrase says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Why did Solomon have to write those words? He had to write them because man is so prone to boasting about tomorrow. Now let me be very clear. The Word of God exhorts us to prepare for tomorrow. We're not to simply take the attitude that we live for today and we don't make preparation. We don't have plans. No, the Bible says we are to prepare for tomorrow, but we're not to presume on tomorrow. That's the key issue. That's the difference. We're not to boast. And men make this mistake all the time. And that's why Solomon had to pen those words. Boast not. Don't presume. Man continually makes his boast of what he will do as if he is absolutely certain. That's why I read James chapter 4, or one reason why I read James chapter 4. It's a sin, it's a problem that affects every generation. The man in Solomon's day, they boasted of tomorrow. They presumed on it. The man in the days of James, the apostle of the Lord, they presumed upon tomorrow. They boasted in it. They said, we will, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year. They could set the very time. This is what I do for a full year, and I make so much money, and I'll move on. And they're speaking with absolute certainty, and they're boasting. They're presuming on what they're going to do. James said, you don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. I tell you, it's still a folly, a sin that men engage in, even right down to the 12th of November 2017. Men boast and presume on tomorrow. I want to very quickly just turn you to two men who did this in the Scriptures. Turn to Luke chapter 12 for a moment. Luke chapter 12, here's a man who boasted of tomorrow, an individual. Verses 16 to 20, he spake a parable saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, you see the connection with the mind and the heart and then the tongue. He first of all thought within himself, what shall I do? And he said, so first of all he thought it and then he spoke it. You'll notice this will I do. On four occasions, he speaks about I will, or this will I do. He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Four times he says, I will. This is what I am going to do. And he's not presuming now on 1 year. He will say to his soul, I have much goods laid up for many years. And he's boasting to himself, this is what I will do. And yet he didn't see the night through. For God said unto him, thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Whose then shall those things be which thou hast provided? And perhaps there's someone in the meeting, perhaps it's a young person, and you have in your mind your plans spread out and laid out in your mind. Perhaps for some it's, I'll go to university, I'll get a good education, I'll get my dream job, I'll make plenty of money, and then I will set my course in this world, and maybe then there'll be time for God. And maybe those plans will never be realized. Maybe for another young person, it's the thought, I want to leave school, I want to go straight into an apprenticeship or an employment, and I want to set my course to get a few pounds in my pocket and make my own way in life. And maybe at some stage we'll give attention to the things of eternity. Thy fool. Oh, listen, whether it's young people or older people, let us prepare for tomorrow, but never presume upon it, and make our boast within it as if it is absolutely certain. For who is to know when your soul will be called out into eternity? We're not told how that farmer perished, how he died. Was it a sudden illness? Was it a sudden accident? Soul was taken out into eternity. There's another man in the Bible who boasted of a future season. Turn over to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. And Paul has preached to a man called Felix. And Felix trembled. Oh, that God would cause your heart to tremble. And yet when he reasoned in verse 25 of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, and after Felix trembled, notice what he says in verse 25, go thy way, Paul, for this time, when I have a convenient season, notice how it's worded, I will call for thee. Here is a man, and he knew what Paul was saying to be true. He knew the conviction of the Holy Ghost. And oh, we pray that God would send again a good dose of conviction and trembling. When the preacher preaches, men would fear and tremble at the thought of dying without Christ. Don't we need those times to return? Too often the preacher preaches and people go out unconverted and it's almost as if the word of God has no effect. Oh, Felix knew the word was true. And he trembled at the thought of meeting God in his sin. But he determines in his own heart that he's plenty of time. And he tells Paul at a convenient season, sometime in the future. He's boasting what he will do. He's saying, at a convenient season, a time in the future, I will call on thee. This is what I am going to do. I'm mapping it out. I'm setting the course in my mind that for this time, I'm giving myself to my employment and the authority that I have and the position that I hold. But at a future time, I will call on you. He's boasting about tomorrow. The
tells us in verse 27, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room. Felix, willing to show the Jews pleasure, left Paul bound. The implication is that he never called upon the Lord. He never called upon Paul to lead him to the Lord. And again, I say, is there one, and your mind is that you boast to yourself, I'll get saved, but not tonight. I will call upon the Lord at a future season. It's folly. It's foolishness. And it's foolishness because you do not know what a day will bring forth. And after 2 years, Felix still hadn't called upon Paul. I wonder, had the Spirit stopped striving? And he was no longer trembling, no longer concerned. Oh, don't be guilty of this folly, this sin, of boasting what you will do in relation to time or in relation to eternity. Because the only time God gives you is now. Now is the accepted time. And now is the day of salvation. Would you turn back to Proverbs 27? And I suppose my third point is really by way of application, or it's implied from the text. If there's a warning about boasting against tomorrow, if there's the reality that life is so uncertain, then surely this text cries and calls out in the third place of the necessity to prepare. The necessity to make spiritual preparation right now. It was for this reason the words of Amos 4 and 12 were written. Prepare to meet thy God, because you do not know what will happen on the morrow. You do not know if you will see out this night. Then, because you do not know whether providence and time will bring life or death. Because death is certain and eternity is real, then it is important and imperative that you prepare to meet the Lord. Let me show you in closing one example of a man who looked to tomorrow, but he looked upon it very differently than the previous two men I have spoken of. Turn to Genesis 27 and verse 2. With this we'll draw to a close. These verses are speaking of Isaac. It says of Isaac, he said, behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. He goes on to say, now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out into the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Here's a man, and yes, he's aged, but he makes the statement, I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know how long I have left on earth. It could be tomorrow. It could be the next day. It could be the day after that. I just don't know. Therefore, he says to his son, you go out and you take the bow and the arrow and you go out into the field and take some venison and prepare me savory meat that I may bless you before I die. And what's he doing? He's saying, because he does not know how long he has to live, he is going to make preparations there and then. I'm going to prepare right now. I want to bestow the blessing. I want to give the blessing before I die. And he's making ready, and he's doing it there and then. What an example. I say to everyone in this meeting, just like Isaac, you know not what a day may bring forth. You know not when the day of your death will come. And therefore, it is imperative that you prepare for your death right now. How do you do that? Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. The Apostle Paul said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The only way you can make preparation is to turn from your sin. Embrace Jesus Christ by faith as he is freely offered in the gospel. And call upon him to forgive your sins and make you his child. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth.